Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21. Conversation between Manu and Kardama. Text 24. Na.
Na.
24.
23.
You gave me 24. Anyway, okay.
All right.
23.
Okay.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sri Bhagavan
Uvacha.
Vidva.
Vidva.
Tava.
Tava.
Chetya.
Chetya.
Me.
Puraiva.
Puraiva. Samayoji,
Samayoji,
Tat,
Tat,
Yad,
Yad,
Artha,
Artha,
Atma,
Atma,
Niyamais,
Niyamais,
Twayaivaham,
Twayaivaham,
Samarchita,
Samarchita,
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Vidva tava chaityam me.
Vidva tava chaityam me.
Puraiva samayojita.
Puraiva samayojita.
Yadartam atmaniyamai.
Yadartam atmaniyamai.
Twayaiva ham samarchita.
Twayaiva ham samarchita.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Vidva tava chaityam me.
Vidva tava chaityam me.
Puraiva samayojita.
Puraiva samayojita.
Yadartam atmaniyamais.
Yadartam atmaniyamais.
Twayaivaham samarchita.
Twayaivaham samarchita.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Vidva tava chaityam me.
Vidva tava chaityam me.
Puraiva samayojita.
Puraiva samayojita.
Yadartam atmaniyamais.
Yadartam atmaniyamais.
Twayaivaham samarchita.
Twayaivaham samarchita.
The Supreme Lord said, Viditva,
understanding,
Tava, your, Chaitya,
mental condition,
may,
by me,
Pura,
previously,
Eva,
certainly,
Samayoji,
was arranged,
Tat,
that,
Yat Artam,
for the sake of which,
Atma,
of the mind and senses,
Niyamai,
by discipline,
Twaya,
by you,
Eva,
only,
Aham,
I,
Samarchita,
have been worshipped.
Translation. The Supreme Lord said, having come to know what was in your mind, I've already arranged for that for which you have worshipped me well through your mental and sensory discipline. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature is situated in everyone's heart. He knows, therefore, the past, present, and future of every individual person, as well as his desires, activities, and everything about him. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he is seated in the heart as a witness. Personality of Godhead knew the heart's desire of Kaudama Muni, and he'd already arranged for the fulfillment of his desires. He never disappoints a sincere devotee, regardless of what he wants, but he never allows anything which will be detrimental to the individual's devotional service. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Vidivata Vachetyam Me, Puraiva Samayojitat, Yadartam Atma Niyamais, Tvayaiva Ham Samarchita. Supreme Lord said, having come to know what was in your mind, I've already arranged for that for which you have worshipped me well through your mental and sensory discipline. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bastyachade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanujananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, so, the story, of course, what the Lord is referring to, the desires and convictions even of Kaudama Muni as to what he needs in his life, to develop his life in the ways that he would like to and that which he feels are the best ways. So the Lord, as the Supersoul, he's already aware of that. And not only aware, but he's already arranged for it. Because he agrees that yes, this will be the best thing for you, a good thing or the best thing for you, and therefore, even though only now you're like openly declaring it to me or specifically stating it to me personally in as many words, I've already arranged it. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He, of course, he is omniscient. As Prabhupada mentions here, the Lord knows past, present, and future of every individual person. In terms of the sort of the events which have been, which are, and which will be there, but not just in terms of events and happenings, But desires, activities, and just everything. You cannot keep a secret from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, it may be, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth or mind, but it may be that one or two or some, or maybe all who know, I don't know, but Krishna knows, may have some secret desires in our minds, somewhere in the back. It may be. Even it may be that one or however many of us may have even some wrong, not Krishna conscious desire or at least sort of inclination or something. We have been in this material world a long time, and as we've mentioned before on I think numerous occasions, old habits die hard and old attachments They don't just go away when you tell them to go away. They stick. They are prone to stick. And therefore to really get free from them and actually become completely fixed and focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and only rendering service to Him and no other anything else at all, it requires some progress in Krishna consciousness. Of course, progress in Krishna consciousness, that is what we want, that is what we need, that is what we're here for, and that is what we must keep striving for. Yes. But here in the case of Kardama Muni, he's an advanced, particularly an advanced yogi. He's also a devotee. That was mentioned just not long before, actually, how he was a really kind of, very specifically speaking, he was a great yogi, but he was also a devotee. But he was also, he had that side of being involved, having been involved in yogic practices. Not necessarily just like wholeheartedly engaged in pure devotional service, although he was engaged in devotional service. So he had already made some considerable advancement. Prabhupada discusses that earlier. He'd already made great advancement. He was not some ordinary recreational yogi or some person of that sort at all. He was extremely serious and committed. And in fact, if you remember, he had been practicing strictly for 10,000 years. 10,000 years. Very strictly in yoga without deviation, real deviation. But still this one idea was there in his mind after 10,000 years. There was this idea that I need to have at least some experience of the Grihastha Ashram, personal experience, not just observing like as an outsider. I need to go through it. I need to go through it myself for my further or perhaps my complete progress. I need to go through it. Just like Srila Prabhupada mentions, is it the beginning of Ishapanishad anyway? Srila Prabhupada mentions how there are different levels of learning important lessons in life. One level, and the best level, if you can learn some important lesson simply by hearing about it. By hearing about it. And then you learn the lesson, and whatever is opposed to the lesson, you don't consider it at all, what to speak of being involved in it. That's first class. But then second class is that you hear, but you don't really learn. You don't learn completely. But then you observe others either doing the opposite of what the lesson is and suffering, or maybe you observe others applying the lesson and getting great benefit, but one way or another, some observation of others' experience and what happens to other people in that particular matter is involved, and then you learn. And then the third level is that you hear but you don't learn. You observe others and you don't learn. And then you have to go through it yourself. And then you learn. And then no more. You put it behind you and move forward without going back into it. You learn the lesson. And then, of course, there's the fourth category who hears and doesn't learn, who observes others involved in that thing, but you don't learn. Then you go through it yourself and experience whatever it is yourself, but you don't learn. And therefore you remain in a mixed up state. So Kardama Muni, he had heard, he was very knowledgeable, he was a big yogi, so he was familiar with scripture and the teachings of authoritative personalities and devotees. He was aware of all these things, but still he felt, I need to go through it to really learn, so I come out of it, the experience, and it's not sort of lurking in the back of my head, some sort of just a latent material desire just sort of bugging me from time to time, even though I know it's not right, or not right, but that I know that I must go beyond it in the case of the Grihastha Ashram, but I have to go through it, otherwise I won't be able to do that, to put it behind me and just move forward free from that. So that was there in the back of his mind. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right here and now, he has expressed his desire to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yes, this is what I need. It was verse 15. Therefore, desiring to marry a girl of like disposition, who may prove to be a veritable cow of plenty in my married life, I don't know if any of you married ladies have it. Thought of yourselves as veritable cows of plenty. Anyway, it's okay. It's just a manner of speaking. Yeah. So therefore, to satisfy, he says, my lustful desire, I too have sought the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the source of everything, for you're like a desire tree. In other words, it's very specific. You're like a desire tree. He's saying, I desire. I am desiring. Therefore, I'm approaching you because you are a desire tree. So there it is. He's very straightforward. He's not, you know, being diplomatic or... Yeah, he's being very straightforward. But now the Lord, and perhaps he's thinking in such a situation, you could imagine a person thinking that the Lord would now think that, oh, really? Oh, I see. That's what you want. All right. Well, let me think about it. Yeah, one might, I don't know if he expected, but someone might expect like that. Now I've told the Lord, oh, now the Lord knows. So now the Lord may do something about it. But as the Lord is expressing here very clearly, that I have already arranged for that. In fact, yeah, she's just outside the door with her parents and the whole retinue, and they're just ready. Let's put it into effect. Yeah. So this is the Lord understanding the devotee. Understanding the devotee. But understanding in such detail, such complete detail. It's not even extreme, it's just complete detail. And therefore being in a position to make the complete solution. Not just sort of some makeshift solution, or, you know, we'll try our best, or let's see if it works out type of solution, but the best, the complete solution. Yes. So, it's interesting, I was thinking, as I was reading the purport, I don't know, somehow the idea came to my mind that in this sense, and even in this very specific situation, at least classically according to Vedic culture, and it's still there in, to some degree in day-to-day life, this is very much a parental type of role that the Lord is taking up here, to see to the future, to see to the future of the devotee, but in, you know, in very well thought out ways, and with real concern and interest, and with real capability to actually help the devotee, or in the case of a parent, the child, to become situated in the best ways possible. Yeah. After all, that is what parents do. I mean, among other things, one thing parents do or try to do is understand the child and help the child. And if there's, you know, if understanding the child, they understand some things are wrong, which usually there's at least some things which are wrong, then the parent, a good parent, will try to address those things, in depending on what those things are. You know, antisocial tendencies. Some, at least in modern society, some children, even some children of devotees, become involved and even seriously implicated in some negative situations, like some taking of intoxicants. I know some, yeah, parents who are devotees, who are initiated devotees, who are just really, they're as genuine as any devotee we have, but one of the children, somehow or other, has become addicted. And of course they're concerned how to help, how to make arrangements and facilitate the recovery of the child, who's also a devotee, you know, a very struggling devotee, but you couldn't say the child is just not a devotee. So this is very parental. This is very parental. Of course, on our levels, when we and people like us try to be parents, like parents have told me, when their children are babies, really just little babies and totally incapacitated, they can't even stand up or say a word, the parents, the child is going through different bodily functions and emotional feelings and feeling their needs and wants and things that the child doesn't want, and too hot and too cold, and you know, this part hurts or that part hurts, but the child cannot say, no, look, it hurts here, please do some, you know, whatever it is, I don't know. And the parents have to try to figure it out. You've been through that, haven't you? Trying to figure out, what is wrong? What does my child want? Okay, I think my child wants this. So they try to do that, but the child screams even more, because that was not the thing. So, you know, the only person who can really do that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Be a parent in that sense. Really, really be a parent. So that at every point, the right decision is made, which will actually help the child, or the devotee, whoever the dependent is. And yeah, so only the Lord can do that, and we can try, and sometimes we'll get it right, or sometimes we'll get it sort of right enough that it'll kind of work out at least, if it's not exactly the right thing. But other times, we'll miss the point, and the poor child. Anyway, that's part of life in the material world, going through childhood. So, but the Lord here, it's very amazing. The Lord tells him that you just explained it to me like 1 minute, 2 minutes ago. I already arranged the whole thing. It's all set up completely. Done. Yes. So the Lord is capable of doing that. There are other examples also. One example which we hear of is the example. Well, there's a few examples, actually. Yesterday I was reading, in fact, in the story in Chaitanya Bhagavat of the Mahaprakash Leela, how Lord Chaitanya was calling all the different devotees, many devotees, one by one, and revealing their previous experiences with him, either in that lifetime or even in other lifetimes when they may have appeared with him in other forms, when he was in other forms and so on. So he called Haridas Thakur at one point, and among other things, he referred to how Haridas Thakur had been some years before, actually quite some years before, because at this point in time, Mahaprakash Leela means Lord Chaitanya is maybe plus or minus 20, or he's somewhere around there at least. Definitely more than 16. And this event of Haridas Thakur being beaten in the 20, was it 23 or how many? 22 marketplaces. It had already occurred before the Lord appeared. So Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Haridas Thakur about that, about his awareness of that whole event. And Lord Chaitanya said that I came down with my chakra to destroy those people who were beating you. But then I understood your mind, and you were simply feeling compassion for them. These poor, foolish people who are just worse than wasting their lives, beating me like this. You're feeling so much compassion for them that I felt I can't kill them. I don't want to contradict your mood. So what I did, Lord Chaitanya says, I lay across your back subtly and I took the beating. And therefore at the end, you came out feeling fresh and fine. Anyway, that's sort of one incident, but particularly there's the incident in the ninth canto of Maharaj Ambarish being, you could say, attacked by Devasa Muni, who manifested a great demon to kill him. And then the Sudarshan Chakra arrived on the scene and destroyed the demon and started chasing Devasa Muni. I'm sure we're all familiar with that pastime. So an explanation is given that the Lord had sent the chakra from Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha is a long, long way away. Anyway, you know, that is an interesting subject in itself. But you can say that. And in this explanation it is put like that. That the Sudarshan Chakra came from Vaikuntha. It came from a very distant place. And when something comes from a very distant place, it takes time to arrive. But now it had arrived. So that explanation is that the Lord had released the Sudarshan Chakra some time before Devasa Muni had manifested this demon who had then attacked Maharaj Ambarish. Interesting. Yeah. It's the same principle. He knows past, present, and future. What's that verse? Vedaham samatitani vartamarnani charjuna bhavishyani chabutani mam tu veda na kaschana. I know everything that's happened in the past, all that is happening in at the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living beings, but me, no one knows. This is Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So, yes. So that's an example that point is made. You know, of course, it's not necessarily exactly like that, because if the Lord wants the Sudarshan Chakra to appear right here, right now, that he can do. He's not limited by space, a long distance, and the time it may take to cover a long distance. But still, in a certain sense, one could look on it like that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, therefore, because the Lord is omniscient in these terms, then he always knows what is the best thing for us, for each of us, even better than we know. Now, of course, we definitely think that we know. I mean, at least generally, or often, or however often, but we have that tendency to feel, I need this. I don't need that. If something happens in my life, it is wrong. I must do away with it. So, but the Lord knows what we want. The Lord particularly knows what we need. Spiritually, of course, in Krishna consciousness, But also materially, he knows what we need. He knows what we need. In all respects. And as Prabhupada mentions here, he never disappoints a sincere devotee, regardless of what the devotee wants. So here we are sitting here, and I don't know. I can't read your mind. So I don't know what little desires you have running around in the back of your mind. I mean, some of them we can tell just through the body language and this and that. We may come to understand the feelings of devotees to some degree at least. But clearly, what is really wanted, but what is actually the best thing, the right thing, Krishna knows for us better than we know. So one thing, at least one thing we can consider is that whatever situation we're in now by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or arrangement, or at least he has allowed it to happen, he is accepting that for us now. He may well have other ideas, and he may well put them into effect and make things happen in our lives, which we may want, or we may not want, or we might not have thought of. Yes, the Lord, he intervenes in the life of his devotee. But if we have some idea that I think, well, you know what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, at least we hear, if you ever start a sentence with the two words, I think, you should immediately find a walk-in cupboard and walk into it and close it behind you. Hopefully you can open it from inside, but to get out, and finish the sentence privately, just, you know. Don't bother anybody else with your ideas, which may not be so wonderful. But still, amongst the conditioned souls, generally, Krishna knows us better than we know ourselves. But at least amongst the people in general, generally we know ourselves better than others do, although not as well as Krishna. So if we feel like Kardama felt that this is what he needed, so if we feel that we need something, if we have thought about it seriously and sincerely, we feel I need whatever it may be, some particular thing, then we may, it is not opposed to Krishna consciousness to present a prayer to the Lord that, as far as I can see, I need this to help me in my life in Krishna consciousness. So if you're not opposed, my Lord, please help me to fulfill this desire. This is actually what Kardama did. And as it happened, the Lord agreed and had already arranged, as we know. But he might have also had a different desire. He might possibly have had some other desire. I don't know. He might have thought, well, I think I'd like to become Lord Brahma. Because some people do. And then the Lord might have come and said, no, you can't. And then he might have felt, oh. And even, you know, I mean, I suppose, you know, sometimes a devotee has some desire of some sort. And they present it to the Lord. But the Lord does not make it happen. And sometimes a devotee may think, Krishna, Do you understand me, Krishna, really? I don't know if you understand me and what I really need. Hare Krishna. But anyway, so that the point in principle is, as Prabhupada says here, he, the Lord, never disappoints a sincere devotee, regardless of what he wants, but he never allows anything which will be detrimental to the individual's devotional service. And we may have mentioned the other day, anyway, we do mention from time to time, it's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's either Adi Leela chapter 3 or 4, I forget anyway, it's the early part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord says, Lord Krishna says, that sometimes my devotee thinks that something which is poison is nectar. In other words, the devotee has a desire for something material, but it would really be detrimental for their Krishna consciousness. But somehow they can't understand it, and they think that it would be good for my Krishna consciousness, and just generally, and therefore they present it to the Lord that I feel I really need this. But Krishna, in his wisdom, knows that actually it's going to be like poison. It'll poison your Krishna consciousness, and there could be very serious consequences. So, Krishna does not allow the devotee to get it, even though the devotee may be praying, and even praying and praying and praying with some conviction that this is important for me, for my Krishna consciousness, but the Lord does not allow it. Then the devotee has to be able to accept the will of the Lord. This is a very important feature of the character of a devotee, that a devotee has to be able to accept the will of the Lord when the Lord expresses it, even if it contradicts or clashes with our opinion and like that. Yeah. This is vital for progress in Krishna consciousness. And one situation in which such things arise is, like we said, if we have a desire and it becomes a strong desire, and even we try to fulfill the desire by engaging in some program of activity, but it doesn't come. It doesn't come after trying. Then, the person, you know the story of the scissors and the, what was the other thing? Was it the rock? How to break something? And the scissors, these two, to break something, one fellow said, use scissors. The other fellow said, no, use a rock. And so somehow or other they explored the point, and they made a sort of an agreement. Whoever's wrong has to drown themselves in the local river. So the rock man turned out to be right, and the scissors man was wrong. So the rock man said, okay, listen, it's all right. You know, don't bother about drowning yourself. But the scissors man said, no, no, no. No, no, no. As far as I'm concerned, you know, it was just by chance, or I still think the scissors are the right. So he went into the river, and as he went down, his hand came up and made a scissors motion like that. And Prabhupada said, this means rascal. Because he couldn't accept. He had to stick to his opinion, despite too much evidence. So like that, for ourselves also, we have to have that ability to accept the plan of the Lord, even in situations where it seems reasonably clear, even without Krishna actually beating us over the head and just forcing us that you cannot do what you think you want to do. The sort of, you know, the subtle hand of the Lord to tune into the will of the Lord and pray to the Lord for that mercy, that's a very important part of becoming Krishna conscious, rather than just trying and failing to fulfill your desire, and trying and failing, and trying and failing, and trying and failing, until you just fail altogether and just fail out of Krishna consciousness. At some point, if you're trying to fulfill some desire in Krishna consciousness, but it's not happening, at some point, one has to be able to accept and take it as the mercy of the Lord and move forward. Yes. So anyway, this is Kardama Muni. It's interesting. He's going to do it, go through the experience, but as soon as a child is born, he walks out. Gone. That was all he needed. He didn't have to go through, what did they say, till death do us part, before he got the message and got detached. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Sarup Damodar Prabhu, enlighten us. Help us.
I have a question, Maharaj. You're speaking about the Lord. Well, he's omniscient and he knows all of our desires and our thoughts.
Yes.
And sometimes we may have an unreasonable expectation of the same thing from the spiritual master, that
yes,
we should also have a similar ability. So, can you advise us on how to develop a reasonable appreciation? Sometimes we place the spiritual master on this level of expectation,
yeah,
that he should have this, he should have that.
Well, sometimes, yeah. Okay. You know, there is a special relationship between the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any sort of, you know, would you say bona fide or reasonably bona fide spiritual master? There's definitely a connection. And, yeah, Krishna involves himself. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, sometimes, as we hear, Prabhupada showed symptoms of omniscience. Yeah, there were events where Prabhupada showed symptoms of omniscience and devotees really felt that. But there were other times where Prabhupada displayed symptoms of, you know, really not omniscience also. Yeah. So, I mean, here's an example. The spiritual masters are being offered food, maybe in some cases by thousands of disciples, or, you know, certainly hundreds in quite a few cases, and even if it's only one or two. But if the disciple then, later in the day, having offered the spiritual master some particular foodstuff, comes and says, you know, how did you like the whatever it was? The spiritual master will not be able to answer. And therefore, you know, that could be taken as sort of a, you know, some doubt could possibly be there. At least if one has that sort of expectation. But generally speaking, you know, like an important... And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, devotees would... There are occasions where devotees approached him and asked, you know, in this situation, should I do this or that? And he said, do that. But then later it somehow didn't work and they came back and he said, well, no, then do this then. Yeah. You know, there are definitely situations like that. You know, he had certain expectations or hopes for Grihasthas. When those Grihasthas went to London, he had a vision, as we understand, of sort of like a Grihastha revolution of spreading Krishna consciousness. And it didn't really happen like that in the long run. And so he modified, you know, giving sannyas, stopping giving sannyas, and different things based on hopes, desires of his own. But if, you know, in my, according to, you know, my understanding, if the devotees embrace the instructions of the spiritual master, even in terms of like just personal situations, not necessarily philosophical, but if they really embrace, then, because Krishna is involved in the relationship, he's deeply involved, then if the disciple really tries to carry out whatever it is, then great mercy will be there. And even if it doesn't work out somehow, that will be, you know, Krishna will be behind that, and the devotee will learn from that, like essential lessons which needed to be learned. Follow the idea? In other words, it will end up having been effectively the right thing, actually. Yeah. So, yes, because Krishna is committed to the relationship. Yeah. It's a three person. It's not three is a crowd. It's three is company. It really is. And Krishna's committed to the relationship. And Krishna allows the spiritual master, I mean, he allows everyone to have their own, you know, in ideas and intelligence about how to do so many things. And like, you know, in the end of the second canto, where Lord Brahma is explaining to Narada Muni about his relationship with the Supreme Lord, one thing he says is that because of this relationship with the Lord and how the Lord has sort of accepted me as part of his program, then whatever I say becomes true. Yeah. Whatever I say becomes true. And it's not that he's just now necessarily, always at least, able to understand what would be the will of the Lord if it was just up to the Lord what should be done here. What would be done? It's not necessarily like that, although sometimes it will be like that too. So it's relationship, sort of the intricacies of relationship. And sometimes the disciple may need or will need to learn that my spiritual master is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not actually like that. You know, he's close to the Lord, and I can learn so much about the Lord, and he helps me in my relationship with the Lord. But, yeah, don't have kind of, you know, excessive expectations or hopes. How does that sound?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like in the relationship between the guru and the disciple, you know, the result that is gained by the disciple is not so much the external thing that Spiritual Master said to do this and it didn't work out eventually. But the main result that the disciple prays for is purification of the heart.
That's true.
That's the ultimate result. That we,
yeah.
It's not dependent on what the result was.
Right. You know, I read something in the Sankirtan, the book distribution. I think Vijay sends out experiences of different devotees. And this one devotee was somewhere distributing books, and there was a very pleasant, conditioned soul who was, I think, trying to sell something or do something nearby and was not doing well. And he came to the devotee and said, you know, I'm trying to do whatever it is, but it's not working out. And the devotee said to him, well, you know, the main thing is not the result, but the effort you make. And the man said, oh, that's interesting. That's sort of, you know, satisfying. So he continued. And later on, the same day, the devotee walked past him, and the man was speaking to someone in the process of whatever he was doing. And the man was saying, you know, it's not so much whether you're successful or not. It's more the effort you make. That's the main thing. Yeah.
It was a statement, a current statement of Prabhupada. He was asked, do you know everything?
The way that I heard it, and it was one of the first things I heard, there were so many Prabhupada said, I tell you, there were so many, was that Prabhupada said, was asked, do you know everything? And Prabhupada said, no, I don't. But Krishna does, and he tells me. So there is that element, not just with spiritual masters, but with devotees, and particularly as devotees go on and do progress. Yeah, because consciousness of Krishna is real. It's not theoretical. There is an actual relationship, and gradually, you know, in different ways it manifests. Yes.
Hi, Vishwamaj. I was wondering if Kadavya Muni didn't ask, would the result have been the same? What is the need to express?
Well, what is the need? You know, prayer is one of the processes. And prayer basically means, of course, there's the type of prayer which is simply glorification. But also, there's specific type. There are three types of prayers, if you look in Nectar of Devotion. And there's definitely a type of prayer in which you, the devotee, you express what you feel and want. Yeah. So it's a bona fide part, not just bona fide, but it's a necessary part of being a devotee and practicing Krishna consciousness. Yeah. But if you don't express it, that would tend to mean, could easily be taken to mean, that it's not so important to you. Unless you're one of these, you know, humble bumbles, or, you know, yeah, I mean, humble bumble could be, or like super advanced devotee, super advanced. And, you know, you don't want to bother the Lord with your desires. But even Prabhupada, he would, you know, there's the famous incident with, as I recall, Sridhar Swami, where Prabhupada said, the difference between you and me is that you can fall down at any time, but I will not. And then they went down for the deity greeting, and Prabhupada appeared to be praying in front of the deities. And I think it was Sridhar Swami, but anyway, they say somebody, whoever, afterwards asked Prabhupada that, well, you were praying for something. And Prabhupada is said to have said that, yes, I was praying I don't fall down. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, you told me that you'll never fall down. And Prabhupada said, yes, because I'm always praying that I'll never fall down. This is a personal desire. So personal desire, we're persons. And, you know, of course we don't want to bug the Lord. We should think out our feelings and desires. And we should have some type of association who we can discuss these things with and not just always be blurting things out to the Supreme Lord. You know, we should have association within which we can express desires and get input. But in a particular on our level, we shouldn't assume too elevated a position for ourselves. Yeah. You know, it is a standard practice to express heartfelt desires in Krishna consciousness to the Lord. It's a standard practice, and it's like a necessary practice. And that idea, like, you know, he knows what's best, I will just keep quiet and let whatever he wants happen, that's more elevated than generally for us, at least in so many cases. So therefore we should, you know, we should think before we open our mouths. We don't want to get foot in mouth disease. with anybody, but particularly the Supreme Lord. So we should think out and try and understand ourselves. And try and understand what I think would actually help me in Krishna consciousness. And then we can and we should express those feelings to the Lord, to Prabhupada, Srimati Radharani, like this. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Oh, yes.
Maharaj, like, in terms of like praying, like, there's a prayer, would you say there's a prayer of gratitude and then there's a prayer of supplication, whereby you are praying as a beggar, in the sense that I'm begging the Lord that this can actually take place in my life, or there's a prayer of gratitude and appreciation to say, so far, so many things have been happening in my life and the Lord has kept these things here in my life, therefore, if the Lord wishes, may I have more or like that, like, in terms of praying,
yes.
How do you approach?
Of course. Yeah. You know, it explains in Nectar of Devotion, there are three sort of general categories of prayer. But basically, prayer is a vehicle for the devotees to express their different feelings, which sometimes would be feelings of desire, and sometimes should be feelings of gratitude. Actually, Rukmini Mataji was talking about that the other day. You were here. Yeah. It was nice what she was saying. The importance of gratitude and prayer in gratitude. That's important. We don't want to be ingrates, ungrateful. That's one of the bad qualities. To get and get and get and not reciprocate and not express appreciation. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.